This morning is going to be more in the format of a class. A class has the main objective of learning, explaining, teaching. And I'm going to use a little bit my help here. I have the front page of a Chicago newspaper that was published some years ago. And it has the picture of a woman, a young lady. She's holding another picture with a little girl in the picture. What would that be so important that was placed in the front page of a very popular Chicago newspaper? This happened, let me tell you the date, on October 23, 2001. And I have kept this. You know, Chicago is known as the Windy City. Sometimes you listen to the news and they say the Windy City. They even say Chicago because it's so well known as the Windy City. Well, that day, a lady with a niece, Elise Badillo, 3.5 years old, left the house and we're going to take the car to do some shopping. And one of those, the wind broke one of the branches of one of the trees, and the branch fell on the head of little Elise. She was rushed to the hospital, but she was pronounced dead, brain dead. And the doctor that was taking care of the girl was surprised because her mother was not there. And they didn't know the mother is at home. She's suffering from a lupus that had destroyed her kidneys, and she's in the waiting list for a transplant and no success. She's going to dialysis several times a week. And the doctor said, why don't you go and bring that lady immediately here? And they brought her, and the doctor told her, you know, I know your situation, and I want to tell you that your only hope is your daughter. I said, what do you mean? And he said, your daughter is dead. As soon as we disconnect her, she's dead. And your only hope is that before we do that, we remove her two little kidneys and transplant them to you. They had to transplant both because they were small, they were going to grow. The lady, you know, cried, but finally he accepted. And they did the procedure. The mother was not able to attend the funeral of Elise because she was recovering from her own surgery. A week after the surgery, she recovered her color, no more dialysis. 6 months later, she was studying at the university, and she holds the picture of the daughter and said, because my daughter died, I can live. And I thought, how clearly represents the heart of the plan of salvation. We can say, because his son died, we can live. It's the only way. Because he died, we can live. When the Apostle Paul understood the meaning of the plan of salvation, what God has done, he penned those words, for I decided to know, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It doesn't mean that he didn't teach about some other things, but Jesus Christ and him crucified was the center that gave meaning to the rest of his teaching. And the cross is the center of Christianity. When we say the cross, it's sometimes, especially in English, they use the expression the Christ event, several events that surround the work of Christ. The first one, the incarnation, which for us is beyond our understanding. We cannot understand exactly. God was made flesh, but the Bible teaches that and we believe it. Why? What was the reason for Christ to become a man? Hebrew says, to be able to die, to be able to go to the cross and pay the debt. And then after the incarnation, Another component of the Christ event is his life. He lived 30-some years on this earth, developing the character that we cannot develop for us, preparing the righteousness that we need. And then, of course, the cross. He died that Friday afternoon. But another component of that Christ event is the resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, we'd be miserable, no hope. But he is the resurrection and the life, and that's what we have hope. And then after that, he ascended into the right hand of the Father, and he is there interceding for us. He's the only mediator between God and man, interceding for us, applying to us the benefits of what he has done at the cross. And then the last chapter in the Christ event is what we heard this morning already, that's going to happen pretty soon, when he comes back again to put an end to tears and death and sorrow and take us to heaven. To understand the why of the cross, we have to go back to the beginning, that we saw something of that in the Sabbath school lesson this morning in Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came down and gave them hope, gave them the gospel. And the good news, the gospel for them, was based on the intervention of a substitute. Someone was going to come and take their place and pay the bill for them, pay the debt that he couldn't have paid for them. And throughout the Old Testament, all the system of sacrifices continually done, we're pointing also to the cross. We're pointing to Christ. When John the Baptist saw Christ approaching him that day, he said in a few words what the whole Old Testament meant. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We read in the Bible about the first Adam and the second Adam. In the disobedience of the first Adam, everything was lost. Everybody was lost. In the obedience of the second Adam, everything was regained. Everything was gained back. In the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary, commented on that text that Adam is a type of Christ. It says, Adam was a type of Christ in that both were representatives of the entire human family. He was the representative and author of fallen humanity. Christ was the representative and author of restored humanity. Everything was lost in one, everything was restored in the second. And God had promised that someone was going to come and take care of the dead that Adam had. Would it be all right if I say that before the cross, we have the cross here, that before the cross, humanity was legally lost? Would you agree with that? Yes or no? Yes, yes. Why? Because God had promised to pay, because the wages of sin is death. God had promised to pay the debt. He hadn't paid it yet. There is one text in the Bible that we studied one Wednesday night. We studied the book of Romans. In his forbearance, God had passed over sins previously committed. What does it mean that he passed over sins previously committed? Were those sins not important? God didn't pay much attention to them? No, simply saying that God had not yet executed judgment. God had postponed judgment. But then the day came when God fulfilled his promise. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, to redeem those who were condemned by the law. They were condemned since the sin of Adam. And the Apostle Paul says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. What does he mean? What was the curse of the law? the sentence of death. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the death. And because for that reason now, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. After the cross, the human race is legally redeemed, the entire human race. God is not going to force anyone into the kingdom. Salvation was provided for everybody, but it's going to be effective on those who accept it, who respond to the grace of God. But as a human race, is redeemed, is reconciled to God by the death of Christ. The wages of sin is death. Now the Bible talks about two deaths, the first death and the second death. When it says that the wages of sin is death, to which of those death it refers to? The wages of sin is death. The first or the second? What do you think? First? Second? What is the difference between the first and the second? Second will be eternal, and the first? Temporal. Would be all right if I say this way, that the first death is the consequences of sin, but the second death is the punishment for sin? Would that be all right? The first death is the consequence of sin. We are born to die. And if the Lord doesn't come soon, all of us will have to go that way. It's the consequences of sin. Good and bad people die, little children, everybody dies. But the second death is the punishment for sin. And those who die the second death will never have another chance. And now the question is, what death did Christ die? The first or the second? Both? What do the rest say? The first or the second? We have, someone said the first, someone said the second, some said both. So we should vote. And if the first is the consequences of sin, Christ did not die because of the nails, did not die because of the spear, died of the brokenness of heart when the sins of the world were placed on him. He died, sin was punished in Christ, or not. What does the old Isaiah say? We like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him what? The iniquity of us all. He who knew no sin for us became sin. By imputation, our sins, I don't know how God did it, but by imputation, God put our sins on him. In the beautiful book, Desire of Ages, that I'm sure most of you have read, let me read a little thought, trying to explain what happened at the cross. Upon Christ, as our substitute and surety, was laid the iniquity of us all. He was counted as transgressor, that he might redeem us from the condemnation of the law, the curse of the law. The guilt of every descendant of Adam was pressing upon his heart, yours and mine included. Yeah, and listen to this. It was difficult for me to grasp that many years ago and understand what she says, but it says, the wrath of God against sin, the terrible manifestation of his displeasure because of iniquity, filled the soul of the Son of Man with consternation. What? The wrath of God. The righteousness of God that cannot tolerate sin, that has to punish sin, has been punished in the substitute, so we don't need to pay for that. Now a little exam. I'm going to read the first part of a text in the New Testament, And I'm going to stop. And if you know how it ends, please just say it
out loud.
The Apostle Paul writes, "For the love of Christ compels us." Anyone? Let me a little bit more, I'll see if it brings some idea. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus." And this is why. No? Let me read it completely now. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus. If one died for all, then all died." Christ died the death that belonged to all of us. If one died for all, then all died. He paid a debt that every human being that ever lived on this earth. But then, as we studied the Christ event that Friday afternoon, you know, Christ died that Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, "It is finished. It is done." And we said that he died the second death, la segunda muerte, second death. But now that day, in the providence of God, it's amazing the way God does things, two other people were crucified also. Two other crosses were there. One of those, let's say this one, the one on the right, hanging from the cross, asked for forgiveness and asked Jesus to save him. And Jesus said, "Yes, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Now, a question, a little more difficult. Would it be all right if I say, listen very carefully to the question before you answer, if someone wants to answer. This supposedly, this is the thief that repented and asked for salvation. Would it be all right if I say that Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock sharp, that man died the second death? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that Friday, this man died the second death. Don't look at me so serious. Would that be all right? Would you agree with that or not? Some people like that, yeah. Yes or no? Yes. Yes. Didn't Christ pay what he owed, his bill? What he owed? Eternal death. And Christ paid, you know, he paid it in the substitute. His sins were laid on him, and Christ paid for them. And that man was free of that. He can sing, "I'm free of guilt now." 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course, the religious people were so careful in keeping the Sabbath that they didn't want the crosses to be there, the people be on the crosses, so they broke the legs of this man. Imagine that, the religious leaders broke his legs and threw him to the ditch somewhere, and there he spent, I don't know how long, a few hours probably, a day or so, I don't know. And finally, say Sabbath morning or Sabbath afternoon, he died. What death he died? Did he die? When he died, say Sabbath morning, what death did he die? No, I'm talking about the thief. When he died Sabbath morning, he died. What death did he die? The first one. The consequences of the nails and the infection and the dehydration and all that, he died the first death. He doesn't need to worry about the second one because it was paid in the substitute. So he's going to come up in the resurrection. We're going to see him one day in heaven. The second his death was paid by Christ. He had to die the first one. Like someone said, is that temporal? He's going to come back to life again. What about this other gentleman here? For all I know, he didn't repent, didn't accept Christ. You know, the Christ's blood was little flowing, this blood that can cleanse us from all sin. And he obviously didn't understand, refused to accept it. And then my question would be, what happened to him Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? What happened to him? Anything? No, at 3 in the afternoon, he didn't die. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Probably nothing. Because he did not accept what Christ had done freely for him. He didn't accept it. And then they came also and broke his legs and threw him into somewhere. No one was able to take care of him. And finally, a few hours, a couple of days later, he died. And listen carefully now to the question. What death did he die Sabbath morning, for instance? Which one? The first. The consequences of the situation he was going through. The nails and the sun and the cold in the evening. He died the first death, the consequences of sin. What about the second one? It's coming. At the end, when the Lord comes and gives the reward to one, he'll have to pay his own death. I read a book some time ago that says every person does not accept Christ as his Savior is like he's saying, thank you, Jesus, I am going to pay my own death. And he will have to pay his own death. And in the providence of God, that is a picture that Jesus, I think, had in mind probably when he talked about the end of time. Matthew 25, when the Lord is going to divide humanity in two groups, one to the right and one to the left. Those to the right, represented for this man here, all he did was to accept Christ. And all those on the left will be those who refuse to accept Christ. And then we have as a picture of the entire plan of salvation. Here's Jesus dying for the sins of the people. He didn't have to pay anything that he owed. He didn't owe anything. This man here on the right died. Oops, I'm putting it in Spanish, imagine that. Died to sin. When a person accepts Christ, dies to sin. And this man here died in sin. And that is the picture that Jesus said. The last day, two places, only to the right and to the left. And it depends for what we have, every person has done with Christ, with what he did on Calvary. What I said up to now in a class is theology. You try to explain briefly, because we don't have much time, just briefly explain what happened at the cross. But intellectual knowledge is not enough. What we understand must come down to the heart. We have to accept it and believe it and live by it to be effective in us, like this man did. He accepted and was effective in his life. The Apostle Paul said, and I like this verse, having canceled the certificate of debt that was against us, he nailed it to the cross. Our sins were nailed to the cross. The document that says you're guilty, you should die, was nailed to the cross because Christ took our place. He paid our debt. We don't owe anything now if we accept him. I had an experience, kind of singular, some couple of months ago. Probably none of you has had it like I did, very humbly. I went to the store. We have a Stater Brothers supermarket about 5 minutes from home. And I went to buy a few things, and I bought and was going through my way out to the cashier, and she ring it, and the amount was $19.28. And when I put my hand in the pocket to get my wallet, I didn't have it. I had left it at home. And I felt so bad, embarrassed, and I told the girl what happened. She said, I live 5 minutes from here. I just go and bring, oh, no problem, I'll keep the things under the counter, you go and get the... So I went home, not too fast, because my wallet was home and my driver's license was in the wallet. And I went back, and I stood in line, and when I arrived to the cashier, she put the bag with the grocery on the counter, and I handed her my card. No, said, it is paid for. How paid? Do you remember 10 minutes ago I was here and I forgot? No, she said, by the lady that was behind you, said, I am going to pay this gentleman's debt. I want him to have a happy surprise today. And she paid it for me. And I said, but who was that person? I don't know. She had a uniform at Loma Linda University. How much I would like to find that person to tell her thank you. Because I didn't deserve it. It was my negligence that brought that. But I know who paid a debt much higher than 1928 for me. And I long for the day when I can, I know who did it. And I long for the day when I can go and tell him, thank you, personally. Imagine that day. When we can, I don't know how it's going to be, the lines that are going to be for people to go and say thank you to Jesus for paying my debt. And perhaps some of us are going to say, Jesus, what did you do to me? I didn't deserve it. It was I was negligent. I not always lived up to what I knew I should have. And Jesus is going to smile and say, don't you know that it's by grace you are here? By grace. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. How many of us would like to tell Jesus this morning, in an anticipated way, thank you for having paid our bill, pay our debt? What would those who like to say in a tangible way, Jesus, thank you this morning, stand up, and we're going to tell Jesus thank you again when we see him finally face to face. Dear Father in heaven, again we thank you for your blessings, for this beautiful